Proverbs chapter number 26 is our text for tonight. Proverbs chapter number 26. Amen. By the way, I appreciate the goodness of the Lord and how He has orchestrated the service thus far. Amen. This wasn't planned. This is not a production. Amen. It's just a worship service. Worship service. And that's what it ought to be. Amen. But I appreciate His goodness. By the way, I appreciate Brother Aaron Wells filling in for us while we're gone. I haven't listened to his messages. I will. I haven't yet, but I appreciate, and not that I will to make sure he is doing right. I trust that he was. But I've heard some good reports on what's been said and done and the goodness of the Lord. I appreciate God still calling some young men. He did a miracle in Aaron's life. That's what, matter of fact, anybody saves, he does a miracle in their life. It is a miracle. The second birth is a miracle. Amen. And I appreciate what he's done in his life and the fact that he's got some convictions. Amen. And some standards and some beliefs, and he's willing to come and help us. And I appreciate him doing that. Appreciate you back in that. And it's good to be home. Amen. Thank God for the privilege to be home. Amen. And, amen. Ezra was aiming that tomato at me. Amen. But, I'm glad he missed. Amen. Philip have to teach him better aim. That's what he's going back there to do now. Amen. Teach him better aim. I'm kidding. But anyway, thank God for his blessings. And it is good to be home and good to be, among God's people. Amen. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 20. And read down to the end of the chapter, verses 20 through 28 will be our study for tonight. We're looking at these verses, verse by verse, as we've been studying through this now for some time. This chapter, actually, this is the third section. We broke it down into three different parts. And tonight we're picking up with verse number 20. One of the things you're going to notice about this final section that we're looking at tonight is that all these verses, I believe every single verse we're going to look at tonight, deals with the tongue, it deals with the lips, it deals with words, our talk. And actually it deals in the wrong use of words. The wrong use. Matter of fact, well, I'll say more about that in a moment. Let's just start reading verse number 20 and we'll read it responsibly back and forth as we go. The Bible says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. By the way, that's the only verse that doesn't mention lips or tongues, but I believe it's dealing with that. It's laying the trap and it coming back upon you. Verse number 28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask him to add blessing to the reading of his word. Brother Joel Gray, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you, Lord, this night, we thank you for what our hearts have already felt, Lord.
Yes, thank you for the privilege.
The rejoicing and the singing and testifying. Yes. I pray now for the man of God, thy servant, Lord.
Help us, Lord. Yes.
Give us wisdom and understanding, Lord, to know where we can improve for the glory of God. And we will thank you and we will praise you for all that you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. I said this whole section is going to deal with those lips and tongue and words. Really, it's dealing with words and how we wrongly use our tongue and our lips. And Solomon has spoken about that often in the book of Proverbs. And matter of fact, the book of James is called by many commentators, it's called the Proverbs of the New Testament. The book of James has a lot of correspondence with the book of Proverbs One of those correspondences is the often repeated condemnation of the way we use our tongue and our lips.
Right.
And James dealt with that very strongly. We'll touch a little bit of that as we go in here with just some reference that we have to make to that. But if you remember well, the previous section that we looked at, those verses before dealt with a slothful man. It dealt with sluggards, with deceiving jokester. It dealt with self-conceited fools. And all those, again, was bad connotations. And I said that in that, and I said again here, that when you're looking at these bad things that are said, it's not so we can point our finger at others, but it's so we can examine our own heart. In this case, examine our own tongue, our own lips, to make sure that some of this has not come upon us. Amen. We were talking in the prayer room about Brother Matt's Sunday school lesson, and he scolded all us men for, scolded all us men, as well as scolded us for the way we use our mouth and talking about dignity, speaking evil of dignities. And he's exactly right. I say, Lord, help me. Amen. And tonight will be along those same lines as far as what we're looking at in the scripture, dealing with how we use our tongue. And James said, if we could learn to keep our lips, that we'd be a perfect man. If we didn't offend in our words, we'd be a perfect man.
That's right.
Amen. And so, Lord, help us in that matter. All right, verse number 20, we're looking at these verse by verse. They go together, but I'm going to use them. There's only one that is a continuous sentence that moves along, and we'll look at that when we get there. Verse 20, it says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Again, this proverb is a pictorial. You see that, the fire going out because of a lack of wood. And so we can understand that it's talking about how that we add fuel to the fire with our words. Many times. This proverb, verse 20, goes along with verse 22. They're both speaking about talebearers. He says in verse 22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. Amen. And so he's dealing with this talebearer. A talebearer is somebody that carries tales. Somebody that carries news hither and yon. Amen. Boy, we're living in a day of newscasters. Dan Rather and Walter Cronkite and I almost said Mondale. And a lot of those, you know, well-known back in the day, Tom Brokaw and all those fellas, they're gone off the scene. But now everybody's a newscaster now. Got their own podcast and they're telling the news. Everybody's got their cell phone out and they're showing you all the clips and you know, everything. And a lot of tail-bearing going on.
That's right.
Amen. 24/7 tail-bearing going on. Amen. Maybe it's gossip. A lot of it is gossip, by the way. Maybe it's a news spreader. That's what he's talking about. This tale bearer. But this proverb also, and the following one, verse number 21, also talks about wood being to the fire. He deals with that, picture there, that wood that fuels the fire. And so, again, we see the picture clearly. Our mouth can be used to fuel the fire of anger.
That's right.
To fuel the fire of resentment. To fuel the fire of bitterness or jealousy or a lot of those things that go along with that. And a matter of fact, it ends up, verse 28 talks about a flattering mouth that fuels the fire of pride.
Right. Sure.
Right. And without pride, there'd be no contention, the Bible said. Amen. And so all this deals with fueling the fire, a fire that's raging in our flesh, a fire that's raging in our nature. And if we're not careful, we'll stoke that fire rather than try to put it out. The Word of God is like water. What does water do to fire? Puts it out. Exactly. Amen. And if we were to have a fire here and we called a fireman, they'd come with water to try to get control of it, try to put it in. I believe that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God can help us learn to control
Amen.
Our speech. Now, we've got to be willing to do that. He doesn't do it against our will. We got to study. We got to think. We got to look. We got to take it to heart. We got to respond to it. And that's what the Sunday school lesson this morning from Brother Matt and this message from me is going to be involved in. We didn't one, two punch plan this, but it's the way God planned it. And so, we'll just have to go with that. And I'll have to say, oh me, we must need it if we're hearing it again. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. A talebearer is one that tells stories that might not ought to be told. By the way, everything doesn't need to be told, even if it's true. Amen. We don't have to tell everything we know. Amen. Some things, whether true or not, does not need to be repeated. And we need to learn how to leave that stuff alone. But the worst kind of talebearer is one that tells stories particularly to those people that they know will be provoked by those stories. That's the idea that he's got here. Where there is, verse number 20, the latter phrase, where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. So here he is. This is somebody that knows somebody's already stirred up. He knows they've got a fire raging. You know what he does? He adds fuel to the fire. He stokes the fire. Amen. Now, and I'm not going to dwell on these long because we can't stand it, to be honest with you. To be honest with you, we can't stand this long with the scrutiny of God's word on our tongue. We need to say, oh Lord, help me in these matters. But any of us ought to cringe at being called or known as a talebearer. Amen. A talebearer. You know, the Bible talks about not receiving an accusation against an elder, but by two or three witnesses. My wife and I were talking about that coming here, not tonight, but coming back from North Carolina. We were talking about that, some things that's happened and going on. And I mentioned her dad had a situation come up not all that long ago. And he talked to me about that verse of scripture and that the connotation of it. And he said he read it in a different light than he'd ever read it before. And I think I can see where he's coming from in this light. I'll throw it out and give you the idea of it. We take that, receive not an accusation against an elder, something, now that's dealing primarily with a pastor. If you read that, an elder is a pastor, but also somebody that's a leader, somebody in leadership. Don't just because somebody says something bad about them, you don't necessarily believe it.
Right.
Don't even receive it, he said. Except for two or three witnesses. But this is what Dad said. Does that mean they've got to be eyewitnesses? Because sometimes things happen that there's not a bunch of witnesses. Right. A man can have an affair with a woman and there's only him and her's the only witnesses. Could be. Now I think, God, be sure your sin will find you out.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not saying you can get by with that. But if she says he had an affair with me, you've only got the one witness. But this is what Dad said that he got to think about it. Does that mean that when somebody tells you something, you don't just take somebody's word without them being willing to tell more than one person? If somebody comes to you and says, I want to tell you something, but I'm not willing to tell anybody else, and don't you ever tell anybody else, don't receive the accusation.
Right.
But if they're willing to say, I'm willing to tell anybody that wants to know, because I know this happened. They're willing to tell it before two or three witnesses. It carries a little bit more weight with it.
Yes, sir.
Now again, it doesn't, you know, to be condemned in court of law, and I go back to that thing about adultery. Sexual crimes or sexual sins, nowadays you're guilty until proven innocent rather than the other way around. And I'm going to be honest with you. When children are involved, I'm afraid, I'm not trying to be a doom and gloomer, but we're headed towards that. The whole society is now headed towards this pedophilia mess, and they're working in that direction, and we're going to encounter it. But when you're dealing with children, you can't take chances. Amen. You got to be careful in these matters. And you got to deal with them firmly and strongly. But you got to deal with it honestly. Amen. Didn't mean to go there, but that's right. But I go back to this thing about being a tale. We ought to cringe at being called a talebearer. If you know somebody that just loves to tell gossip, you ought to look at them as a fire starter. Amen. You ought to look at them as an incendiary, somebody that loves to add fuel to fire. Amen. going around igniting random blazes here and there just for the fun of it.
Right.
Just to see the reactions of it. There have been people in the past and that have done that. They go and maybe they find a vacant building and they light it on fire just to get to see the lights and hear the sirens and see the reactions, and it didn't mean anything then, but it cost somebody something. And could have some people get hurt? There's some innocence that maybe you didn't even know about. And I'm telling you, this tongue can light fires, and you may get a lot of excitement out of it, but you also may hurt some innocence.
Amen.
You also may cost some people a lot of things. Amen. And matter of fact, it looks to me like this idea about this talebearer, that's the intent, is to cause hurt and harm. His tongue is just what James called it in James chapter 3 and verse 6. He said the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Last part of that verse says that is set on fire of hell. It can be devilish is what he's dealing with there. Amen. The only way to stop the spread of fire is to take away the fuel. You ever wonder why they have a forest fire? They'll come in there with bulldozers. Why are they coming out with bulldozers? To clear out the brush, to clear out the fuel, the easily started stuff, to clear out the way. Amen. And that's what we've got to be careful with in this thing of trouble. So I'll say this, when you're in an argument, and I need to take heed to this myself, quit adding fuel to the fire.
Amen.
I just got to get in the last word. I just got to lay the last log on that fire. Quit adding. Amen. That's right. Amen. Quit adding fuel to the fire. By the way, it's hard to argue with somebody that refuses to argue.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Just ask my wife. No, I'm kidding. I need to learn this lesson because I am not that way. I got to have the last word. Last words. Verse number 21, all right, Lord help me. All right, verse number 21. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. A very similar phrase as the previous one, as you know. But this one's admonishing us about a contentious man. This is an angry man who is prone to kindle strife. I said a minute ago, we all ought to cringe at being called or known as a talebearer. We also ought to cringe at being known as a contentious man. A man that always has a chip on his shoulder.
Right.
A man that always has his fuse about half inch down in the powder. That's how short his fuse is. No, we ought not have a short fuse. Amen.
Amen.
Not prone to kindle strife. We don't want to be a contentious man. Matter of fact, I believe these two characters, a talebearer and a contentious man, are kindred characters. I believe they're near of kin to one another. Amen. A contentious man or woman must have the last word, or at least they think they do. Amen. And often those last words are coals against coals. Amen. Several of us have started fires. We used to have a wood stove, and that's how we heated when I was a boy. That's how we heated when our children were growing up there in North Carolina. And if you get up in the morning and there's nothing but coals left, and they're maybe on either side of the stove, you rake those coals together. You know what you're going to do? You're going to get a fire going. You rake those coals apart, you're going to let the fire go out. Good advice in arguments.
Amen.
Not to rake them together, but to ease apart a little bit. Amen. Amen. Coals to burning coals. By the way, you know what happens with coals to burning coals? They rub each other the wrong way. Amen. They rub each other the wrong way. They inflame the passions of one another. That's right. So it seems to me that this talebearer and this contentious man are companions in character. Perhaps this talebearer spreads the stories out of a desire to indulge or gratify his love for contention. He just loves to see people going at each other. By the way, we've seen this statement before. Turn back, hold your place here. Go back to Proverbs 16 and verse number 28. Proverbs 16 and verse number 28. Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. This froward man, that's a perverse man, he soweth strife. He seems to love to cause trouble. That's the idea that he's got there. And then that whisperer, that talebearer, separates chief. So you see, these two are together. They're together in the same proverb. In this case, there are two proverbs apart, but they're there together as well. Now, excuse me, George Lawson points out that this contentious man does not only add fuel to the fire, but he actually starts the fire. You know, look at the verse 21. Proverbs 26:21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, look at this, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. When you kindle a fire, you're just starting it.
That's right.
You're just starting it. Now, you can kindle, if you've got the coals there, you add kindling to that, and you're keeping the fire going, but it was almost out, and you're starting it anew and afresh, is the idea that's there. Amen. And so he's kindling strife. All right. Again, he's talking about there that he is starting it or getting the fire going. Wood that's used to kindle a fire or used for kindling, we call it, is usually small. Maybe you've got a piece of flint and you're striking that flint and it's just small little sparks that create a big inferno. Amen. Produce a large blazing inferno when we start the fire. Words and stories may be small, but they can cause big trouble in the extreme. Amen. Now, the case presented to us here in this pictorial proverb, you can see it, shows that these words of contention not only kindle the fire where there's been no fire, but they also add wood to the fire where the fire's already burning. So they don't just like to start trouble, they like to keep it going and further it along. And it just seems to me like there are some people that love to start trouble, and then there are others, or even some of the same people, that love to keep the trouble brewing. Now, I'm going to say something right here, and you can take this for what it's worth. My grandfather, my mama's dad, believed that Walter Cronkite was a communist. He believed that Dan Rather was a communist. I've always believed CNN's communist. That's Communist News Network. Amen. But the idea, and this is what I'm saying, what are they doing? They're complaining about America. They complain if it's a Democrat. They complain if it's a Republican. They complain if government shut down, they complain. They complain about everything. Always bad. And just stirring it up. And when trouble gets going, they never let old dogs lie. They kick the dog and make him bark again. And they get the fight stirred up again.
Amen.
Amen. That's what talebearers are. And God save us from that in the independent Baptist churches. Amen. God save us. There's a lot of podcasts out there that's nothing more than talebearing. Nothing more than stirring trouble. There's newsletters being written and there's words being spread. It's for no cause other than to cause trouble in the camp. I say God save us from that. Amen. Amen. Verse number 22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So fires mentioned above there in those other two verses are here likened to wounds. Fires can cause wounds. If you ever get burned and get a bad burn, it's a wound that's a bad wound. And these wounds of a talebearer are even more hurtful than maybe the fire that's been started that's out there, because rather than just blazing the passions, these actually hurt deep inside. It's a deep hurt that's created. He talks about down into the innermost parts of the belly. In other words, we say it this way, cuts to the heart. Old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me, is not always accurate. Amen. Brother Dale Massengill said recently, he quoted Brother Billy Mitchell, said, people say the truth never hurt anybody. He said the truth has hung some people.
Amen.
That's right. Truth can hurt. Words can hurt. Amen. go down to the innermost parts of the belly. Now, some commentators believe and interpret this phrase, they go down in the innermost parts of the belly, as this. They said indicates how smoothly these harmful words can be swallowed down. We're just listening. But it's going deep down and it's creating an attitude towards that other person. It's creating an opinion that we previously didn't have. It's creating thoughts and intents that we didn't have, and it's easily swallowed down. Some of those commentators say that this is like an unto poison that has a sweet coating on it that's easily swallowed, but then it causes great turbulence in the belly when it gets in there. Amen. Deadly poison when ingested. That's right. But by the way, why do they tell you to keep the medicine away from children? Is it because it tastes so bad to them? No. Because they think it's candy. But it can hurt them so bad once they get it.
That's right.
Amen. Look back at Proverbs 18 and verse number 8. Proverbs 18, verse number 8. While you're looking at Proverbs 18, 28, I'm going to read verse 22 again. You look at verse 8 of Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8, verse 8. I'm going to read verse 22 of chapter 26. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Do those look similar? Exactly the same. Now, did Solomon forget that he wrote that? Better yet, did God forget that he wrote that? No, he didn't forget it. Why did he say it again? Well, there's several reasons we could say that. You ever told your kid the same thing twice? Millions of times, amen. But it's to reinforce their memory. It's because they didn't get it the first time. And perhaps in this case, and this is what I believe God so wants to stamp that out of us and so wants to sear this in our mind that while he's talking about the tongue, he reminds us of the poison that words can be.
Amen.
When they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Amen. Verse number 23. Now we're back in 26, 23. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. Let me first deal with the potsherd. We don't use that word a lot. Potsherd's a broken piece of pottery. To be covered with silver dross, the dross is not worth much either. But it's silver looking. And so what he's saying here is that it might look shiny and it might look valuable, but down on the inside it's just a piece of junk. Just a piece of trash. Amen. You've heard that everything that glitters is not gold. Amen. It's not necessarily precious metal just because it glitters. And so if it is a potsherd, even though it were covered with silver dross, it would only be a scrap of junk that's concealed by a thin layer of silver dross. The picture here is of a wicked heart. You see that? Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. A wicked heart and a person with burning lips. Now, I thought about what that burning lips means. Does that mean you just can't wait to say something? Like we used to say, your money's burning a hole in your pocket. Does that mean you can't wait to spend it? Some people get news and they just can't wait to tell it. Especially if you tell them, don't tell this to a living soul. Then they can't wait. They've already got speed dial up. Amen. But I don't think that's talking about those burning lips there. I believe it's talking about lips that are burning with flattery. These falsely affectionate lips that are concealed by the malice that's in the heart. By the way, when he talks about the wicked woman in the Bible, she's always got flattering words. She's always got smooth lips. She's always got smooth sayings. What is that? Burning lips with a wicked heart. Again, used to be, the news commentators were all elderly men. Now they're young women with short skirts. Burning lips. Wicked heart. Amen. Just can't wait for the opportunity to whisper a tale. Now they may wear the mask that looks inviting and maybe even looks innocent, but it is a thinly veiled disguise to try to conceal their true character. Amen. Trying to conceal what they really are down on the inside. Amen. Again, most of the commentators that I read believe these burning lips speaks about flattery, falsely affectionate lips that are concealing a heart that's full of malice. By the way, that sounds a lot like a politician. Did you know when politicians come, they want to win the election, right? That's what they want to do. They want to win the election. The way they win the election is they win the affection. They win you. I'm telling you, you look so sharp. You look so smart. Man, I'm telling you, you're going to succeed. And if you'll vote for me, I'll see that you do. Pretty much the way they are, ain't it? I mean, they just pump people up and make you think you're the best thing that ever lived. They couldn't care less about you. And I could name names, but I was told this morning not to do that. I just ask you, do you believe that anybody in Washington cares about what goes on in Madisonville, Kentucky? No. They want to keep their high-powered job in Washington. Amen. They want to keep their lifestyle that they're living, their jet-set group that they're running with. That's what they're interested in. But they want you to believe that they're really concerned about you. It's all about you. And how many of these things? Oh, it's all about the children. We got to protect the children. While they're killing babies, by the way.
Yeah, amen. You're right, preacher.
Yeah, burning lips, political talk. Words that sound good, words that sound precious, words that sound valuable, but underneath it all, it's a thinly veiled piece of junk. Amen. Now, look at verse 24 and 25. They go together. It's a continual sentence. Verse 24 and 25. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Again, verses 24 and 25 connect verse 23 so well, and all the others too, but particularly those. The hypocrite is one that hides his true character under a mask of friendship. But while he's hiding under that mask of friendship, he can either dissemble with his lips, in other words, tear you down with his words, or he can speak fair and glowing words. Try to build you up with his words. He knows how to use words. His words are poisonous because there are seven abominations in his heart, the Bible says. Seven, the perfect number. I believe it deals with this. The implication here is that this heart is wholly given over to evil intentions.
Amen.
No good meant by his speech, all evil. No matter what words he uses, his heart's set on evil. In other words, his heart is perfectly evil, is what it's dealing with. Now, it talks about dissembleth. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. That word, we don't use the word dissembleth much. I looked it up. To dissemble means to conceal one's true motives, feelings, or beliefs. To pretend, deceive, feign, masquerade, or bluff. Amen. The picture here is somebody who hides their hatred by masquerading it with his speech. Yeah. Can I say this? Hatred is a terrible sin. Hatred is a terrible sin that poisons the very heart that tries to conceal it.
Amen.
Hatred grows when it's hit, when it's buried down in the heart. Hatred multiplies the evil. Your heart can be deceitful. Your heart can be full of evil already. And when you put hatred in there, it multiplies the evil. It multiplies the deception when it's hidden in the heart. Look at verse 26. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Again, a connection with that, but he's just talking about hatred there, dissembling, he hates those. But this one, his wickedness is going to be showed before the whole congregation. Amen.
Hatred may be concealed for a while in the heart, but it will be revealed by the lips. Amen. Hatred, I say it again, hatred may be concealed for a while in the heart, but it will be revealed by the lips. Amen. Again, hatred can be hidden and covered by deceit. He talks about that. Covered by deceit from the eyes of men, yet God knows about it. And it will be revealed one day. Matter of fact, it's going to be shown before the whole congregation, he says. Amen. Now, I put a note here, and I'm quickly moving on, but I have known men and women. They got hatred in their heart towards other people. And they hid it quite well for a time. But eventually it broke forth. And the whole church knew about it. Amen. This congregation he's talking about here is not just talking about the congregation of the Island Ford Baptist Church. He's talking about the whole world's going to know it one day. The evil that's in that heart. So I'll just simply say this, and I think it's biblical. Be sure your sin will find you out. You will give an account for it. Hatred within the heart will break forth. What are you going to do? You better deal with it while it's in the heart. Amen. Deal with it. It will break forth and you will be exposed. I can't help but think about Cain and Abel. Cain hated his brother. Somebody said, how long did Cain hate his brother? As long as he was able. He hated his brother. And that hatred broke out one day. They was talking in the field, the Bible said. Didn't say they was arguing in the field. It didn't say they was shouting at one another. They was talking in the field. And his hatred broke out. And he killed his brother. And he hid it. But he was still found out. He was still found out. The blood of his brother cried from the ground to God. And God cried to him. I just say again, you will be exposed. Look at verse number 27. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth the stone, it will return upon him. Here he's talking about somebody that lays a trap. I think this is mirroring the previous point that's been made, talking about retribution to the wicked people. That person that harbors hatred in their heart. That person who tries to lay a snare, who tries to lay traps. How do they lay those snares and their traps? Many times they lay them with words. They lay them with conversations. Just specially devised conversations that they lay out there at different places. Laying a snare or a trap through tale-bearing. By the way, how did them Pharisees try to trip up Jesus? Was it not with words? They tried to trip him up with words. He was the Word. And they tried to trip him up. And he said, as they did to me, so shall they do to you. The servant's not greater than his master. They're going to do their best. And by the way, this is the only nation that I know of that actually has trumpeted freedom of speech. We were talking about it in the prayer room. That is quickly coming to an end. They're quickly clamping down on that. It's going to be called a hate speech. And so much it goes forward with that. And what are they going to do? They're going to try to lay a trap for us with our words. I realize that what we're preaching goes out over the radio and that there's a lot of, and over the internet and the whole world wide, they can listen and they can try to trap us with our words. But I'm saying while we can, we better speak the truth while we can. Amen. And then when they say you can't, you know what you got to do? Speak the truth anyway.
Amen.
Even if it means going to the stake. Amen. Even if it means going to the stake. Amen. Even if that tolerant bunch realizes they can't tolerate us anymore. Digging a pit, this thing here. Talking about digging a pit. Is somebody that lays schemes of evil against somebody else. By the way, that is devilish. Amen. And if it's devilish, you might expect God to treat it as such.
That's right.
Amen. Now, I'll give you an illustration. Sometimes children pick up bad traits from their cousins, for example. Yeah. Sometimes they pick up bad traits from family members. And you know what? You see that. You start saying, you're starting to act just like that devil. Amen. Brother
Brother Ronald Williams said that, he said there ought to be a Canaanite alarm that goes up. He goes, woo, 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 Canaanite, 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 get away from them. Don't have no part with them. And you say, you're starting to act like that little devil and I'm going to stop it. You know, I'm going to, and you might say, I'm going to beat the devil out of you. Your point is not to abuse them, but you're going to say, I'm going to straighten you out while I can before you get so hook, line, and sinker drug into that. And I'm telling you, God sees that in our heart. Hatred is a devilish thing and scheming is a devilish thing. And God's going to treat us like he'd treat the devil. We allow that to get in us. We got to deal with it. Amen. I'll just say this thing about, You roll that stone, you're pushing that stone up the hill. You know what's the tendency of that stone to do? To roll back down the hill. Your plan is to get it right at a place where that you can stop it, scotch it, and he can trip the trigger and you can let it roll over on him. But there's also a good chance that thing coming back on you. Amen. It bites in the end. It comes back to haunt you many times. Amen. Well, Satan is doomed to be bound. Satan is doomed to be defeated. Satan is doomed to be destroyed. And so is the man that lays traps for other people. Verse number 28, and I'm done. Verse 28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. And a flattering mouth worketh ruin. I'm going to break this down in two parts because I think there are two, although they go together. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. Now, the same subject we've been dealing with all along. Here's somebody with hatred, and they got words. Maybe they love to cause trouble. I don't know. But in this case now, their words are deceiving words. Not just they're deceiving you so you don't know of their hatred, but also they're lying. They're spreading things that are not true. Now, maybe they're lying about what you've done, or maybe they're lying about their own reason for telling it. Sometimes people say things like, for example, now I'm not telling you this to run somebody down. It's just a prayer request. And we ought to be able to make prayer requests without running somebody down. But we ought to be careful that we're not lying about our motive. God knows the motive. Amen. And we ought to be careful that we search our own heart about what that motive is. So there's the lying tongue. But look at this. He hateth those that are afflicted by it. Well, hatred causes lying. That's what provoked him to lie to start with. He hated these people that he's spreading these lies on. And by the way, I'll go back to this whole political movement in our world today. Here's what we have done. Both sides have done it now. It's not just that they are wrong. It's that they are evil. It's not just that we're going to vote against them or we're going to stand against them. No, we got to stamp them out. They become diseases. By the way, if you ever read how that Hitler talked about the Jews, he talked about the Jews as being vermin. He talked about the Jews as being rodents. He talked about the Jews as being diseases. And they got to stamp out diseases. We got to inoculate our people against this COVID crowd. It's coming. That's the idea. And the whole thing is paint them as evil. Paint them as evil. And we got to kill them. We got to stomp them. Listen, that ain't what it's supposed to be like. Amen. People can be wrong, and by the way, and they may even be evil, but they are created in the image of God, and we ought to pray for them and pray for their salvation, because Saul was carrying people and delivering them to bondage and delivering them to be killed and destroyed. Paul, later known as Paul, Saul was doing all that, but listen, people didn't pray God kill Saul. God converted Saul. Amen. And if God would convert, we're talking about the prayer, God convert some of that crowd up there in Washington, what a blessing it'd be. Amen. He'd lose a lot of support fast. Many of them would come home fast and straighten up a lot of things quickly. Amen. Well, so hatred causes the lying. So it should be no surprise that they hate the ones that are afflicted by the lies. Now, you would think, if a man wrongs his neighbor, that he'd feel bad about that. You would think that if a person wrongs their neighbor, especially, and they get caught, that it's a lie,
that they'd feel bad about what they'd done and feel sorry for their neighbor. That's not what it says they did. Oh, no, it makes them hate them more. Makes them hate them more. Here's how the world is at it. They don't, listen, they hate the light. They don't want anybody telling them that they're wrong. And they're going to hate you just for doing right.
That's right.
Amen. You don't have to ram the gospel down their throat for them to hate you. All you got to do is just try to live right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Why does it bother them that a woman wears dresses all the time? Yep. It don't seem to bother them if a man wore a dress all the time. Why does it bother them? By the way, here's another. Why does it bother them? Listen, all these versions of the Bible, they say, oh, they're all wonderful except one.
Amen.
They're all in agreement except one. Why do they hate the King James Bible? Because it's the truth. It's the light. And they won't come to the light because their deeds are evil. Amen. None of that's in my notes, but that's right. That's just dead right. So, here's this person been found out that they were evil, been found out that they lied, and rather than being filled with shame, rather than being filled with remorse about the hurt that they've inflicted on somebody else, they're filled with hatred. Second one's the flatterer. And a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Flatterers are the worst kinds of liars. Often the person with a flattering mouth is the one that will betray with a kiss. Amen. The person with a flattering mouth, I believe, is the same person with a lying tongue, he said there in the same verse. The flattering mouth and the lying tongue. Amen. One and the same. See, sins tend to gang up. Sins tend to bunch up. To mount up with one another. One sin leads to another sin, right? And a lying tongue can naturally lead to a flattering mouth. That old serpent in the Garden of Eden, wasn't he a liar from the beginning?
Yes, sir.
Did he come up to Eve and say, you old hag, I tell you, if you eat this fruit? No. You know what he did? He flattered her. You can be as gods. I mean, you're the smartest woman on the planet now. Just, you look at how smart you could be if you just eat this fruit. Flattery. Lying. Deceiving. Damning. Destroying. Amen. Proved to be her ruin. Amen. By the way, the lies he told her, did it help her? The flattery he gave to her, did it help her? No, it destroyed her. Destroyed her. Amen. Well, I say this, and I'm working it down. This proverb not only combines these others, all these together, but it also warns us against harboring hatred in our heart. Because the hatred in our heart can deceive us into the misuse of our lips and our mouth. Can use those abilities that cause us even more trouble. He warns us against allowing not only hatred in her heart, but how about this? How about pride in her heart? God hates pride. There's a whole lot said in the Bible about pride. Matter of fact, I saw just a minute ago, I'd written a note in here to see if I can get back to it where it was. Right there. Back in 2022, July last year, Brother Mike Miller was preaching at Midway, and he's on this verse, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Here's what Mike Miller said in his quaint way of saying it. He said, pride grows in the human heart like lard grows on a hog. Just natural. The more you feed it, the more it's going to be. That's why flattery is so dangerous. It adds fuel to the fire of pride. It adds lard to the fat of pride. Yeah. Flattering mouth. We love to hear it. We didn't like it so good. It wouldn't affect us so bad. Yeah. We've got to be careful. Check our own heart for hatred. Check our own heart for pride. George Lawson, again, quaintly stated that flattery is so evil and so dangerous because it makes friends with our own pride, which he said is our worst bosom enemy. I say amen to that. If you've got an enemy, it's pride. And anybody that stokes your pride is not your friend.
That's right.
Amen. Now I'm stopping there tonight. That finishes this chapter. I want to draw some quick references about this and I'll be done. Talking about hatred and pride. He deals with the troubles among people and the fire of an argument, looks like to me, that's going on. Isaiah 9:6 tells us that Christ is the Prince of Peace. It tells us that the gospel of Christ is the gospel of peace.
That's right,
amen. Romans and Ephesians both say that. It's the gospel of peace. Amen. And so I believe all that believe in Christ, all that are truly sons of God, ought to long for peace rather than trouble and turmoil.
Amen.
And so I would tend to believe, and I believe it's biblical. Again, it goes back to, by this shall all men know you, my disciples. How are they going to know that? If you have love one to another. And we know that we pass from death and life. How come? Because we love the brethren. If that's not there, you don't have any reason to believe you're saved. You don't. I don't care what experience you had. What experience are you having right now? Amen. So what he's dealing with here is we got to be careful that we don't allow that hatred to build up in our heart that will divide us from our God and divide us from our brethren. Amen. Husbands and wives sometimes have arguments. Is that true? Amen. Some of them from the day they said, I do. They mean, I do. I get in the ring. Amen. So, listen, there's going to be disagreements. There's going to be. There's not two angels married together. It's two fallen children of Adam. Oh, yeah. There's going to be arguments. You know what we ought to do? Not stoke the argument. Not try to further the argument. We ought to try to sue for peace, the Bible talks about. Pray for peace and work towards peace. Striving together for peace with one another. That's the way it ought to be in the church. Amen. That's the way it ought to be in the nation. Amen. So we've got to guard our own heart from allowing pride to have a seat. We've got to guard our own heart from allowing hatred to have a seat in our heart.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We've got to guard ourselves against this flattery of praise. Satan loves to get the advantage of us. If he can do it by tearing us down, he'll do it. If he can do it by building us up, he'll tear us down by building us up. In our pride. Ought to guard our tongue as well as guard our heart. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed to come with a song. Every one of us has a lot to be on guard about. Every one of us. A lot to be on guard about. We're in a day of information. You better be careful how you process that information. You better be careful how you listen, who you listen to. How you respond to what you're listening to. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God that's been so strong here on our tongue tonight. I pray, dear Lord, help me. I don't want to just preach something I'm not living. I want to live by the gospel that I preach. I want to live the truths. I want to be pleasing unto God. Father, I pray for every person here tonight. Lord, that you protect us from our own deceptiveness and the deceptiveness of the devil and the flattery of the devil and the opposition of the devil. Lord, protect us in these matters. I pray fortify us, make us strong in thy might. Let us stand in thy might. Give us, dear God, thy strength and help us to let you tell us what to say. Help us be careful that we use our words aright for your glory and honor. Lord, I pray if there be one here in our presence tonight unsaved. Brother Gray preached this morning on I want us to be together in heaven. I pray, dear God, sinners would be saved and run to Christ before it's too late. I have not preached to the sinner, but your word won't return void. Your word's what quickens the heart of the sinner. I pray do that tonight, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.